Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Joining me here today is Dr. Jackie Mitchell, VP of Regulatory Affairs and Quality at Shield Therapeutics. Shield Therapeutics is a highly focused pharmaceutical company who are awaiting a US FDA decision on their lead drug Feraccru on the 27th of July. It's a new and novel treatment for iron deficiency, which is already approved in the UK, Europe, and Switzerland. Jackie, thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure. Nice to be here.
So Jackie, just to start, could you tell me a little bit about your career before you started at Shield Therapeutics?
Yes, of course. So I'm a biochemist by training. I did a DPhil at the University of Oxford and a postdoctoral degree at Johns Hopkins in the US in the field of immunology. And then I moved into regulatory affairs after a brief research position at British Biotech. And I've been working in that area ever since. I started off in big pharma, much like most of the Shield management team have. And I've worked for large companies such as Abbott, J&J, in both European and global regulatory affairs. And I've gradually moved down in size. And in recent years, I've worked primarily for SMEs and startups. I've worked across a number of many therapeutic areas and with drug device combinations as well as drugs.
Amazing. And what drew you to smaller companies and what drew you to Shield Therapeutics?
Shield, I was drawn to it as it was a startup company with a lot of promise where I felt I could really make a difference across all areas of the company, not just in my field of expertise, and also because of the strong management team in place there.
And at Shield Therapeutics, the lead drug is Feraccru at the moment. Is that the drug that you're most excited about?
Yes, it is, because obviously we are selling it at the moment. So we have already started to exploit its potential. And we're also going through, as you mentioned, the review process in the US. And we're seeing the difference already that it can make to patient lives.
Mm. Could you just tell the audience a little bit more about iron deficiency and the impact it has on patients and the healthcare system?
Yes, well, iron deficiency is the most common cause of anemia. It can be treated with either oral or IV replacement therapies. And it occurs when the body either can't absorb enough iron to supply its needs or it loses iron through blood loss. And it can be caused by malnutrition, by bleeding, by a number of chronic diseases, in particular inflammatory bowel disease or IBD, by chronic kidney disease and by congestive heart failure.
And where does Feraccru fit into this? Where is the is there a really large unmet need there?
Well, Feraccru is a novel oral iron product. It provides a much needed, well-tolerated alternative to IV iron therapy. It contains iron complex with maltol, and the maltol coats the iron as it journeys through the gut, which means that Feraccru can be taken by patients with anemia associated with conditions such as inflammatory bowel disease. Now, these patients typically can't take traditional iron tablets because of the gastro side effects such as diarrhea, nausea, stomach pain, and constipation. And they have to be given IV iron, which is both costly and inconvenient. It requires administration in a hospital setting because of the potential very serious side effects. And furthermore, in between injections, which are typically given maybe every few months, then the patients begin to feel more and more unwell. And Feraccru provides an alternative to this type of therapy.
And how does it compare to what else is out there in the market? Could you talk a little bit about the AEGIS H2H results?
Yes. So we ran a study which compared Feraccru and a leading brand of IV iron in the treatment of anemia in patients with inflammatory bowel disease, which was the population that we studied in the pivotal AEGIS 1 and 2 studies that supported our EU approval. And the results confirmed that Feraccru was similar to IV iron in the number of patients that normalized their hemoglobin after 12 weeks of treatment. And this helps to dispel the misconception that IV iron is both faster and better in increasing hemoglobin than oral irons. And we are now looking forward to analyzing the long-term results, which we hope will show that Feraccru capsule, taken twice a day, will avoid repeated IV iron injections. The findings are really important for physicians and patients as it confirms that Feraccru really does shift the treatment paradigm away from IV treatment. And the study results will also support our European partners, Norgine and EU Pharma, in their reimbursement discussions with the regulatory authorities as they implement the rollout across Europe. So it's a really important milestone for us in geographical expansion as well.
And what is Ferinject, and what does that market look like, and why is that important for Shield Therapeutics?
Ferinject is probably the leading IV iron product. It accounts for about 50% of the IV iron market, and it has shown stellar growth since it's been introduced in both Europe and the US.
Okay, and so you're hoping to enter that market and sort of replace them?
Indeed, and we will seek to price Ferrocru at the same cost as IVRN, but the healthcare system will save on the admin costs, which can be quite considerable. And of course, the patient saves on convenience and avoiding a therapy that's is unpleasant.
Yeah, and what are some of the challenges at the moment for Ferrocru from a regulatory affairs standpoint, from your standpoint?
So our current focus is very much on obtaining the FDA approval in the US. And as you mentioned, then the FDA have a target date at the end of July to communicate the outcome of the review. In the EU and Switzerland, then our partners are focusing on obtaining pricing and reimbursement agreements with national regulatory issues agencies. And this will allow us to make Ferrocru available to a wide number of patients who currently don't have access to it. And the Aegis head-to-head study is really critical in supporting these discussions, and it'll be crucial to achieving market penetration.
And have you had to adapt your strategy in different regulatory environments, say in the UK and the EU?
So the FDA requested one additional study. So in Europe, the Aegis R1 and 2 studies, which were run in patients with inflammatory bowel disease, were sufficient to obtain registration. FDA wanted us to look at patients with anemia in the background of a second disease state. So we conducted a study in chronic kidney disease. And as you know, that study concluded successfully and showed that Ferrocru was superior to placebo in increasing hemoglobin in these patients. So as well as being key for US approval, then that's obviously really important and useful information for both our patients and prescribers to know in other regions and in the EU.
I do want to ask if you want to talk a little bit more about your role in getting it approved recently in Switzerland for an expanded scope of approval, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's correct. So in both the EU and Switzerland, indeed, then our original indication approval was in the very restricted patient subset that we'd studied in phase three, so patients with inflammatory bowel disease. And these were, if you like, the hardest population to treat because, as I mentioned, they normally can't tolerate oral irons because these patients already have significant issues with their GI tract. And usually oral irons would exacerbate these GI symptoms and they just can't take them, so they have to take IV. However, in both the EU and Switzerland, we've had that indication broadened out. And so now Ferrocru is approved for iron deficiency in patients who both have anemia and don't have anemia in the context of any kind of background disease. So that has really, really expanded the patient population that can take Ferrocru.
And do you see that sort of expanding of the population happening in other jurisdictions? Is that something that you're looking towards doing?
So in the US, that is the indication we've applied for, iron deficiency, and hopefully FDA will agree to that very broad indication also.
Assuming everything goes well, what does the future look like after US approval?
So commercially, we'll be looking for a partner to launch in the US, and we're also looking for partners so that we can expand into other regions of the world. We also have a portfolio of earlier stage products, so we'll be looking to develop them as well as acquiring other products.
All right, Jackie, well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me today.
You're very welcome.
We're looking forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Thank you.
Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.